Okay, this question will probably overlap with the other part of our interview that's already on the internet now, but speaking of action, how did your questions turn into action? How did they turn into the Vision TV 9/11 series?
Well, I don't think I started off with questions. If I am trying to understand as accurately as I can the processes of my own being, it isn't that I intellectually would say to myself, "Oh, self, I think I'll ask a question about this." It just doesn't happen that way. It happens in the belly, really, what they call the brain in the belly, your gut instinct, your intuition, where you see something and you just say, "That's fishy. That doesn't add up." And that's where it starts. It couldn't start there unless you already had a whole, you know, you've lived your life up to that point, which has led you to be a person who would react that way in his belly or her belly to this thing you're seeing or this thing you're hearing. And so I believe the beginning of this, these actions, which in my case we're referring to my actions as a TV producer producing a six-segment series, they begin as intuition. Then the intuition changes into a clarified, articulated series of questions. And then once you ask those questions, then you're practically asking yourself, what should I do about the answers to these questions? And then you will think of what to do.
Okay. Well, the next three questions, or the last three questions, I would like to take to devote to the current developments, the new so-called revelations that have come out into the mainstream media.
Yes.
With regards to foreknowledge. This might require somewhat of a speculative answer, but assuming direct complicity as opposed to simple vague foreknowledge on the part of the Bush regime in the events of 9/11, at what stage of cover-up and damage control is the Bush administration involved in right now, do you think?
Well, I believe that as far as cover-up is concerned, there have been I'm sure, billions of dollars spent by the Bush administration in cover-up activities for the last 8 months, that all these activities would be invisible to us. In other words, I would speculate, and that's the correct word, and I say no more, that I would speculate that using, among other things, the extra $1 billion that George Bush gave to the CIA shortly after 9/11.
And $38 billion to Tom Ridge.
Yeah, incredible amounts of money. So the particular persons and the branches and groups within those particular agencies who are involved, I assume, in the complicity, have been working all this time to cook up cover stories when they eventually would be needed, I'll come back to that, and to destroy evidence, if what little there is, manufacture fake documents and to create fake tapes of cockpit allegedly of cockpit voice recorders, and on and on. There's a huge bunch of stuff must have been created already by way of the cover-up, so that when the investigations by congressional committees or others finally get going, and it's absolutely incredible that they've barely started at this late date. But if they ever get going, I should say, if they ever get going, probably the evidence that's brought before these committees, and I wouldn't for a moment expect that the committees are untainted. Obviously, the Bush administration is doing everything possible to appoint people to those committees who are already trusted, can be trusted to obscure and derail things as much as possible. But so it's a horribly, horribly tainted process in all. But even then, to maintain the charade, most of the evidence that will be brought before those committees will be either manufactured, or distorted, or tainted, or of course hidden.
All of the Warren Commission.
Yeah, but probably worse, because nowadays, because of communications technology, they're just the paper trails are pretty well absent. So So the cover-up has been going on all along, and it will continue, and it'll become more evident of the homework that was put into the cover-up. Now, the other side of the question was damage control. Well, you see, the Bush administration has not needed to go into damage control until last Wednesday night, incredibly. And so it's in the very, very earliest stages of damage control. It would be ready. See, if the media jumped on this a week after 9/11, then that could have been, should have been done, and it would have been a different story. But they didn't. They've been afflicted with sleeping sickness all this time, and so it's just the early stages of damage control. And I would characterize it this way: that if you take the Condoleezza Rice press briefing, and I listened to the whole thing on streaming audio today, it's an incredible thing. That you can just see what the plan is there. The plan is to, at this point, preserve, if at all possible, the fictional framework that the administration was just an innocent victim of all this. And so the damage control would consist of probably over days, weeks, months, and even years, allowing to dribble out more and more information about how they were misled, how they were they have to walk the line between not admitting to be incompetent and yet admitting not to have been competent. that's the line they have to walk, and that's the early damage control. And so I didn't count up the number of times that Condoleezza Rice said, you know, this information George Bush had on August the 6th was very vague, very general. It was just an interpretation paper. It was 1.5 pages long, can you believe it? And there was nothing specific in it. We had no specifics. And so we're supposed to believe that. And she must have said that 20 times. So in other words, no reasonable person, and this is the implication, no reasonable person in the position of George Bush or any of the administration could have been expected to believe that, or dream for a moment that they'd slam airplanes into buildings. Well, of course, she's on horribly weak ground there, thin ice, because those of us who are at all knowledgeable about this know that. And in fact, the incredible thing is that she even admitted to this. There's numerous contradictions within the press conference, and so she admits that there were threats that somebody was going to run a plane into the Eiffel Tower, which seems to me like a freestanding structure. And yet, at the same time, she says that no one could have been expected to dream such a thing. So she makes she distinguishes very much between what happens on American soil and what happens on foreign soil. They're just the contradictions in the press conference were remarkable. So that's the stage they're at, very early. And I would say this, that what they are and they will increasingly be doing is releasing to selected individuals and selected media outlets different chronologies and different amounts of detail. Now, I'm not saying that these are true. Indeed, they will all be a masterful concoction of disinformation, gray, white, and black propaganda in whatever proportions they need to try to carry out their goals. But so a lot of people who are still believing, clinging to the official story, to see all these developments through their field of prejudgment. In other words, I don't want to say the brainwashed, but the people who are not inclined to question authority, they will say, "Gosh, here's a whole bunch of new information." Well, it's not new information; it's new disinformation, and it has the benefit of A, preserving that framework, the official lie framework that I mentioned, preserving the victimhood of the administration and the CIA and the FBI and the military, and also confusing people, because people are going to have more and more and more versions that they can discuss back and forth, and the danger is they'll believe any of them. and even if some are more true than others, how are people supposed to tell amidst a welter? And so
that was my next question: how do people sort out the information from the disinformation?